Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you can all hear me. Is anybody? Yes, we're good? Okay, thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's an honor to be here with you tonight, and I thank you for coming. Canada was a country of great promise at the beginning of the 20th century, with open lands in the west and budding industry in the east. Much foreign money was flowing into Canada to fund major projects and business ventures, including railways and the development of population centers. The Canadian economy was booming in the years before 1914. With the outbreak of the Great War, Canada further expanded to help supply the war effort. Agricultural production almost doubled in value, with large quantities of Canadian wheat, beef, pork, and other foodstuffs shipped overseas. The manufacturing sector expanded to supply munitions to Britain. Canadians benefited from an 8% rise in real per capita income, a measure of economic well-being, from 1913 to 1917. Many early writers believed that Canada came of age during the Great War. However, the economic legacy of the Great War for Canada is not entirely clear. The Great War ended an immigration and investment boom and ushered in an export boom. Although the Canadian economy grew during the war, it suffered tremendously near and after its conclusion, more so than any of the major developed nations, excluding Germany. The Great War appears to have been a turning point at which Canada's economy shifted into specialized wartime production, but was unprepared to effectively turn back into an economic environment of peace. So here's an outline for my talk. In the next section, section two, I'll provide an overview of Canadian macroeconomic developments before, during, and after the Great War, and provide an assessment of the Great War as a turning point in Canadian macroeconomic history. The Great War has commonly been viewed as an important period in Canada's economic development. The war brought important changes in the Canadian economy, changes that would last beyond the war itself. Wartime demands caused an unparalleled rate of increase in the area devoted to the production of wheat and other field crops, and led to the adoption of the most advanced techniques of modern industrialism. However, work has pointed out that changes in the world economy, as well as in the Canadian economy, had long been in transition, and that the changes normally associated with the war would have occurred anyway. In the three decades following Confederation in 1867, the Canadian economy grew slowly. Although strong numbers of migrants were arriving at Canadian ports, many of them continued on their way to the United States and were joined by Canadian immigrants to find work, land, and opportunity in the United States. Real gross national product, an indicator of the value of goods and services produced by the nation, and an indicator of national income, grew at an annual average rate of 2.4% from 1870 to 1895. The population of Canada grew at an average rate of 1.3% per year, and the rate of growth of real GNP per person was 1.1% per year. A dramatic turning point for the Canadian economy occurred in 1896. Canada experienced tremendous growth with the beginning of the period known as the wheat boom era. The U.S. frontier was closing. New lands were being offered on the Canadian prairies, west of the Great Lakes and the rocky terrain of the Canadian Shield. The expansion of the railways and new farming technology helped make these lands profitable and desirable for settlement. At the same time, a national economy was taking shape. Business and investment prospects improved, productivity increased, and wages and per capita incomes grew. Immigrants arrived, found employment, and settled. Residents began to save and invest proportionately more. Foreign investors also began to pour more funds into Canada for investment. All sectors of the Canadian economy experienced an investment boom. The rate of investment grew from an average of 16% of GNP from 1870 to 1895 to 33% by 1913. So figure one here on the overhead shows the patterns of migration and investment in Canada from 1870 to 1926. Note in particular the rising immigration and investment rates from 1896 to 1913. The investment rate is in green, the green line, and the immigrant arrival rate is in blue, and net migration as a proportion of the population is the red line in this chart. The population of Canada grew at an average rate of 2.4% per year from 1895 to 1913, and much of this growth was due to the immigration and settlement of young workers and families, leading to strong growth in the working age population. These rates of physical and human capital accumulation, combined with technological progress, led to real GNP average annual growth of 6% per year from 1895 to 1913, and correspondingly, real GNP per person grew at a strong average rate of 3.5% per year. In 1913, however, continued expansion of the Canadian economy appeared to be in danger. British investors, who had supplied the majority of foreign capital for Canadian development, began to hold on to their funds. Investment slowed, and Canada was in a recession in 1914 as real GNP fell by 7% from the previous year. The immigration and investment boom had ended as the cloud of war moved over Europe. In the years leading up to the war, the Canadian economy was reliant on investment as a primary driver of the economy. During the war, Canada's economy was primarily driven by exports and government spending. The share of exports soared from 16% of GNP in 1913 to a high of 37% in 1917. And government spending rose from 10% of GNP in 1913 to 16% in 1917. And here, figure 2 shows the share of exports and government spending from 1870 to 1926. Note the extraordinary wartime surge in exports tracked by the blue line and in government spending tracked by the green line. Wartime demand had a major impact on agriculture and manufacturing. These sectors combined for 39% of GNP in 1913 and for 48% in 1917, split quite evenly between the two over this period. The British government established the Imperial Munitions Board in Canada in 1915 to direct the manufacture of munitions in the country. In 1913, 7% of manufactured goods in Canada were exported. By 1918, that figure had risen to 40%. Agricultural production rose from $516 million in 1913 to $934 million in 1917 at market prices. Within this sector, farm revenue from wheat production almost tripled from $138 million in 1913 to $377 million in 1917. Beef, pork, and other foodstuffs were shipped overseas in massive quantities. Meeting wartime demand with the Canadian labor force was difficult. Immigration fell, emigration rose, and volunteers enlisted to be shipped overseas. However, women joined the labor force in increasing numbers during the war to relieve some of the labor shortages. Their presence was particularly felt in manufacturing sectors and manufacturing industries assembling munitions. And here we see a picture of a munitions plant and the workers are soldering fuse covers. While many industrial jobs were held by men after the war, the role of women in the labor force continued to expand as it had before the war, especially in clerical and secretarial positions. Inflation became problematic after 1915. The government expanded the money supply to help pay for the war effort. Food prices rose by 58% from 1916 to 1919, and the wholesale price index doubled from 1914 to the end of the war. In 1918, the value of production grew by 7%, but prices grew by 18%. As a result, real output fell by 6%, and real GNP per person fell by 7% during the last year of war. Following the war, the value of production at market prices continued to rise an additional 19% through to 1920, but overall prices grew faster by 28%, indicating a real decline in production. In 1921, Canada joined the world in recession. From the peak of the real business cycle in 1917 to the trough in 1928, real GNP declined by 21%. So here in figure 3, we see gross national product, the green line, real GNP, which is the blue line, and real GNP per capita, which is the red line from 1870 to 1926. Please note that the income gains during the war were muted by price increases. The economic decline was correspondingly severe in the agricultural and manufacturing sectors, which produced most of Canada's wartime exports. The average farm price of wheat on the prairies plummeted from 187 cents per bushel in 1917 to 93 cents per bushel in 1921. The price of cattle fell by 38%. Total sales in the agricultural sector fell by 30%. The value of iron and steel products declined by 40%. The value of wood and paper products fell by 42%. Total sales in manufacturing fell by 31% over that period. The shift to peacetime resulted in four consecutive years of deteriorating economic conditions. And then it took an additional 4 years of recovery before real GNP per person in 1925 once again exceeded the pre-war level of 1913. Other major nations also experienced economic disruption. Italy and Britain, like Canada, experienced strong wartime economic growth, followed by post-war declines and then recoveries. Italy was able to attain and surpass its pre-1913 level of real GNP per person by 1922, and Britain by 1925. The US economy experienced a drop in real GNP per person in 1920 and 1921, but it was able to exceed its 1913 level of GNP per person each year after 1917. Australia, Belgium, France, Denmark, Sweden, Switzerland, and the Netherlands all experienced wartime recessions, but recovered above their 1913 levels of real GNP per person by 1919 in the Netherlands, by 1922 in Belgium, Denmark, France, and in Switzerland, by 1923 in Australia, and by 1924 in Sweden. Of the 12 major nations, only the German post-war recovery lagged behind that in Canada. The slow recovery was also costly in terms of Canada's relative economic performance. Real per capita income in Canada was 90% of that of the UK and 84% of that of the US in 1913, but by 1925 that figure had fallen back to 84% of the level of real GNP per person in the UK and all the way back to 70% of US real GNP per person, the same relative level as in 1870. We turn now to the central theme of this series, the Great War as a turning point. Was the Great War a turning point for the Canadian economy? From a macroeconomic perspective, the Great War coincided with the end of the immigration and investment boom in Canada, which had fueled the Canadian economy at the beginning of the 20th century. It appears that the Great War was a turning point at which the benefits of an extensive investment and development had to suddenly be realized. The investment boom was replaced by a wartime export boom. The Canadian economy no longer focused primarily on internal development, but on supporting the war effort. Although there was a post-war recession and an extended period of recovery, the Canadian economy would maintain a strong emphasis on exports. The previous immigration and investment boom would not be resumed after the war. We may hypothesize that without the war, the transition from an economy driven by investment to an economy driven by exports would have been much smoother. One of the unfortunate legacies of the Great War for Canada, however, is an extended period of post-war disruption and recovery, one which lasted longer than most of the other nations. Canada's relative standing among the major nations fell after the war. Canada had lost the economic momentum and promise it had at the beginning of the 20th century. We will now turn to specific sectors of the economy for a slightly more detailed consideration of the Great War as a turning point in the Canadian economy. GNP growth from the pre-war 1913 peak to the wartime peak in 1917 was primarily due to growth in three sectors of the economy: agriculture with a 23% share, manufacturing with a 21% share, and federal government spending with a 16% share. Figure 4 shows the sector shares of agriculture, manufacturing, and federal government spending from 1900 to 1926. In figure 2, we saw that the share of exports doubled during the war, with wheat and other foodstuffs and manufactured munitions being the notable war exports. In this lecture, I will limit my discussion for this section, section 3, to an examination of agriculture and the wheat economy. A discussion on the manufacturing sector, on foreign trade and investment dynamics, on government policy changes during and right after the Great War is included in the essay for the series, but I do not have time to provide the details here. I hope that you will be interested in the completed essay when it comes out in the near future with other collected essays from the series. The agricultural sector in Canada experienced tremendous growth during the war. In 1913, total agricultural product amounted to $516 million. And by 1918, agricultural production had increased in value to $903 million, growing at an average annual rate of 12%. Beef exports averaged 1.3 million pounds from 1909 to 1913 and 42 million pounds from 1914 to 1918. Cattle exports averaged 110,000 head before the war and 200,000 head during the war. Canada exported 2,000 hogs and 39 million pounds of pork on average before the war, and 60,000 hogs and 167 million pounds of pork per year during the war. Exports of oats quadrupled, and exports of flaxseed rose by 60% for war. Livestock, meat, and grains were exported in stunning quantities during the war. However, the dominant story of Canadian agricultural development before, during, and after the Great War is of wheat production. From 1896 to 1908, only 15% of farm revenues were derived from wheat production. The share of wheat rose to 31% of farm revenues, both during and after the war. Canada emerged from the war as the world's foremost exporter of wheat. Following the theme of these lectures, we asked the question, was the Great War a turning point for Canadian wheat production? The period from 1896 to 1929 has commonly been called the wheat boom era in Canadian economic history. The Canadian prairies were settled on the promise of agriculture, and more specifically, on wheat. Clifford Sifton, Wilfrid Laurier's Minister of the Interior, focused on recruiting immigrants to settle the West. And here we have a figure, a cartoon released by the Department of the Interior in 1903. Here we have the subtitle, The Only Drawback. Uncle Sam is looking over the Canadian West with John Bull. And Uncle Sam says, "They said it's a fine looking country, John, but darn it all, you can't see it for all the wheat." The price of wheat was starting to rise. Transportation costs were falling. The American frontier was perceived as settled. Dry farming techniques and hardier wheat strains were being introduced. The Canadian prairies were ready for development, and individuals from Europe, the U.S., and other regions of Canada were ready to migrate to and ready to invest in the Prairie West. The population of the three prairie provinces grew from 420,000 in 1901 to 1.3 million in 1911. In 1900, 4.2 million acres were seeded to wheat and produced 56 million bushels. By 1911, 11 million seeded acres produced 231 million bushels of wheat. The wheat economy would continue to grow. The Great War cut off the supply of agricultural products from Eastern Europe to Northern and Western Europe. Canada had previously invested in the infrastructure and was well positioned to help replace that supply. With higher prices in 1914 and wartime supply barriers, Canadian farmers reacted by seeding more acres to wheat at 15 million in 1915. Fine growing conditions brought a plentiful harvest that year, and 394 million bushels of wheat were produced with a price of 114 cents per bushel. Total farm revenue from wheat amounted to $299 million in 1915, more than double the amount of $127 million recorded in 1911. The years from 1916 to 1919, however, were characterized by low yields due to dry weather, frosts, short summers, of which we were all quite familiar here on the prairies. Production wasn't exceptional, but with high and rising prices, the market value of wheat production increased to $377 million in 1917. So here, figure 5 depicts wheat production, which is the dark blue line, exports, which is the light blue line, and acres seeded to wheat, which is the green line, from 1870 to 1929. And I want you to note the volatility in production due to its dependence on growing conditions. Russia, Romania, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Yugoslavia held a 41% share of world wheat exports before the war, but their share collapsed to only 3%. Over the period from 1921 to 1925. More specifically, wheat acreage and production fell dramatically in Russia and in Hungary right after the war. That void was met by the New World countries of Canada, the US, Argentina, and Australia. In the 5 years before the Great War, Canada claimed 14% of world wheat exports. In the 5 years after the war, Canada supplied 35% of world wheat exports and became the largest wheat exporter. Canada was well positioned to replace the Eastern European supply. The investment and immigration boom prior to the war brought settlers and transportation links to enable Western wheat to be produced and exported to the East. Transportation costs were higher for Argentina and Australia to reach European sources of demand. However, the shares of world exports for these two New World countries also rose from 12% and 8% before the war to 18% and 13% after the war, respectively. Before the war, the US provided 16% of world wheat exports, and with high internal demand, was the second largest producer after Russia. Wartime demand and high wheat prices induced US farmers to partially substitute into wheat from other crops, including corn. But when prices dropped after the war, farmers returned to other traditional crops, leaving Canada as the dominant wheat exporter. Was the Great War a turning point in the Canadian wheat economy? The answer has recently been that Canada became the largest wheat exporter simply due to the ongoing process of settlement. The process would likely have looked nearly identical without the war. The process of settlement and the emergence of the wheat economy also occurred in Argentina and Australia, countries that became the third and fourth largest exporters of wheat. These countries joined Canada to fill the void in wheat exports created by war disruption and revolution in Russia. Russian production did recover after 1924, but was mostly required for domestic consumption, leaving relatively little for export. We may conclude that wheat production rose in Canada through the process of settling the Canadian prairies after 1896, and that supply disruptions caused by the Great War and by the Russian Revolution, combined with the growing world demand for wheat, provided the export markets for the increased supply of Canadian wheat. The Great War was one of a series of shocks that caused the wheat boom era in Canadian economic history. So, in conclusion, some writers have viewed the Great War as a fundamental turning point in Canada's history. With respect to the Canadian economy, the Great War ended an immigration and investment boom and ushered in an export boom. However, Canadian economic historians view the Great War primarily as a period in which the Canadian economy experienced a temporary and transitory boom fueled by high prices and exports of wheat, foodstuffs, and munitions. Some writers contend that changes normally associated with the war would have occurred anyway. Canada had long been on a path of population settlement and of the development of its resources and industries, which were temporarily shocked by the Great War and the post-war transition to a peacetime world economy. Canada was already in the process of developing a wheat economy on the prairies. Indeed, it had been directing immigrants and investment to do so. Canada had already developed an industrial economy before the war, but the war forced a shift into munitions production which was not required after the war. One of the unfortunate economic legacies of the Great War in Canada was 4 years of economic decline and another 4 years of recovery. Canada did not return to its pre-war level of overall economic well-being until 1925. These issues were addressed in the lecture. Some additional issues are addressed in the essay on which this lecture is based, and I just want to briefly talk about those. First, the Great War caused a temporary surge in munitions and chemicals production. The other notable change in manufacturing was a rise in pulp and paper production during and after the war, which was due to increased US demand for newsprint, demand not related to the war. Second, the Great War did appear to be a fundamental factor in causing abrupt changes in Canada's foreign trade and investment patterns, loosening Canada's dependence on Britain. Third, although the government introduced income taxes and started the process of nationalizing two major railways during the Great War, these changes were mostly rooted in sentiments and situations that arose before the war. Fourth, the Great War forced the federal government to discover a developed domestic capital market, and the government floated over $2 billion worth of war bonds to fund war spending. And fifth, the Great War also appears to have been the first shock moving the Canadian government to implement major Social Security measures. In the first instance, benefits to Great War veterans. The Canadian economy experienced many changes during and soon after the war. Some changes were the result of the Great War, while others were pushed along much more quickly by war, or would have occurred regardless of the war. And that concludes my presentation. I thank you for your attention. And I'd just like to share a personal note. I was made aware this morning that my third grandchild was born at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm very thankful for the war veterans who served our country and preserved freedoms for us that we can all enjoy. Thank you very much.